Hello everyone, thank you very much for coming. I'm Martin Lucas-Smith. I'm one of the developers of Cycle Streets, which is one of the earliest routing projects. We started in 2008, and it's great to be here again, and thank you all for coming to this talk. I've been using OpenStreetMap for a long time now, obviously, and I spend a lot of time looking at the data model and how we route over it and how cartographically it's represented as well. And I believe that the time has come to look at the data model and say, are we missing a certain couple of concepts? Because I think there are things that are actually quite hard to do, and there are compromises that we have in the model. So just briefly, background, Cycle Streets, say we started in 2008. We have a rather old-looking website, which will be improved shortly. But most of our routing, millions per month, comes through our data interface, our API. So if, for example, you're in London, you've probably heard of CityMapper, which is, uses routing from us. And we have a whole range of routing APIs, routing from A to B, circular routing, user management, infrastructure, auditing, photographs, GPS tracking, and so on. And again, briefly, just before I get onto the actual subject of my talk, the routing engine that we've developed over the last 10 years covers different types of routing, from a quiet route, a fastest route, and a sort of balanced bicycle route between the two. We have hundreds of rules that we kind of combine to sort of emulate how a cyclist thinks as they move around. We look in detail at the infrastructure. So, for example, a cycle lane that's narrow, we often give a negative score to rather than a positive score, because actually that can encourage people to drive closely. We analyze every junction, so things like left turns and right turns are handled differently. We have the engine covers different elevation sources, which are combined and smoothed out, resampled, and so on. And we have full support for route relations. So we're trying to get a really good modeling of cycling. So I think, for me, the fundamental problem is that we're trying to represent the real world, which is a space, as lines. And I think there are lots of compromises that come as a result of this sort of approximation of the world. So I'm going to go through various examples of how the sort of problem I think that comes from this, and then offer a couple of suggestions. And these are by no means to finalized ideas as such, but at least I hope it will start a discussion within the community. So here we have the tunnel in Amsterdam going under the main railway. And as you can see, it's one, as I call it, conceptual space. It's a tunnel through which people travel. But it has multiple flows. On the left, we obviously have a footway, which is has a surface. It's 5 meters wide. And on the right, we have a bi-directional cycleway, which is segregated from the pavement. How is this represented in OpenStreetMap? Well, it's represented as two tunnels. The one on the left that's not highlighted is the cycleway, and it has the name, as you can see on the map, just on the top right there, you can see it has the name, and it has attributes like its surface and so on. And on the right-hand side, we have the footway, which is separately marked as a tunnel, so there are two tunnels, apparently, it doesn't have a name. So if you're doing pedestrian routing, you now have the task of associating the name of the cycleway with the adjacent footway, which is not always a very easy GIS task, particularly depending on how you split out the way. So here is an example from Cambridge, where I live. This is a 7-lane highway. There are two lanes for traffic. There is a single directional cycle lane on one side. There is another single directional cycle lane on the other side. There is then a contraflow on the left. If you can see, the pavement has then got a contraflow cycleway. And on the right-hand side, there's a pavement. So there are seven separate flows here. How do we represent this? Well, with difficulty, I think. But this is what the real world is like. Okay, you don't always have a contraflow, but if you imagine junctions, you can often end up with very complicated situations. So we're trying to do more and more with OpenStreetMap. You know, back in 2008, we wanted to make a map. Then people wanted routing, and then there's analysis and so on. We're trying to get better and better apps and routing that really, really is high quality. But really, I think that the model is becoming too basic for the real world. So how do we model this one? Well, here's the 2008 method. It's nice and simple. We have highway equals primary. It's a main road. And we have cycleway equals track. I mean, you can debate if it's a track or a line. And that will give you a reasonable level of cycle routing. Sorry? The street name is Hills Road in Cambridge. Sorry, I'll add that to the slides after. So this will give you a reasonable level of quality. But it's clearly not good enough for a road sat nav because you might need to know how many lanes, which lane you're in towards the junction. And for cycle routing, we don't know, for example, is this shared with pedestrians? How wide is it? Is it possible for a cargo bike user to use it, or are they going to be halfway on the road or whatever? So this will give us a good enough quality, but it's really not really good. It's not really good enough in my view. So here's the first approach that we can take, which is that we model each of the flows as separate lines. So the one that I've selected is the sort of cycleway on the left, the main bit of red here. And we are actually modeling this correctly. We've got a track. It has a certain width. It has a surface. We can say that it's segregated. This is light segregation in this case, so it's sort of halfway, and so on. And that's fine. But as you can see, we've now ended up with four bits of hill. We've now ended up with four hills roads. There are four lines on there. And there are kind of lots of odds. There are problems that then result. So routing can end up with like this, where basically, because there isn't actually a crossing in the middle of the road, someone's sort of half-drawn on a spur to one side of it. You can just about see in the middle there's a little bit there, but it hasn't actually been drawn in properly. And if it was, that's drawing in a cycleway that doesn't actually exist in the middle of the road. But, I mean, I'm sure we've all come across routing, particularly pedestrian routing, that ends up with this sort of thing. No one cycles like that. In reality, you can cross the road. So the other way to do it is rather than having the separate lines, we can model it as a single line, but with lots and lots of attributes to represent the parts of the road. So how did I do this? Well, I look on the bicycle page on the wiki. I hear a few laughs, so you've obviously been there before. It starts off fine. We've got the nice simple case at the top of a road with a lane either side, highway equals whatever it is, and cycle equals lane. That's fine. And as you scroll down, it just gets more and more ridiculous. You end up with, on the left, we've got there at the top left, we have a two-lane highway. We have a cycle lane on the left. We have a cycle lane on the right. There's then a bus on the other side of it. And the tagging just gets more and more ridiculous. No data consumer I'm aware of processes this kind of thing. We certainly don't, and I'd like to think that we run probably the most advanced cycle routing in the world. This stuff is just unintelligible. It's not a usable data model. It's designed, of course, for automatic editing software like ID, where you could potentially have the lane split out, but it's still very, very subject to being broken by accidental changes. I mean, I defy anyone to understand what all that means. So anyway, going back to my example, I had a go at this, and that's what I came up with. So we've got access lanes is no, 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 yes, yes, no, no. Bicycle lanes is no, designated, yes, yes, blah, blah, blah. Blah, blah. Cycle backward is track, cycle backward est width, and so on. And I still think there's a problem because I can't really represent the fact that the left contraflow is that way. But again, no one is going to use this. So we essentially have two models, that neither of which really work. We have this unified model, which is theoretically might work, but it's very difficult to understand, and no, it will break. And we have the multiple lanes model, which has its own problems, which I'll talk about. So we're trying to represent a space as a set of flows, and we therefore have to make compromises. So one of them is junctions. So here we have the example of, if you look on the if you look here, you're cycling along. So this is the UK, so we're on the left, I'm afraid. But you're cycling on here, and in theory, you have to sort of bear right. So the and then you get to the traffic light, and then you do a bear left. So you know you've got a sort of you've got two turns you're making. In reality, this is just a normal straight road with a junction in it, with the traffic lights in the middle. And what's happened here is that we're trying to, we've made this sort of fake shape, fake geometry, because we want to represent the fact that the cycle lane is going through a traffic light. Now, there are other ways to do that, but they also have their downsides. Here's another example. Any idea what this is? Any suggestions what the hell this thing is? Yes. So it's basically a straight road. It's a straight road with a cycle lane on, and you go through this sort of bus gate, it is. But that's how it looks cartographically. I mean, it's ugly, isn't it? I mean, this has been produced by one of this map is produced by one of the best cartographers in the world, in my view. But even he would it struggles to deal with this kind of data. And also routing wise. What are the instructions that a cyclist gets? Well, they're going along, and then they're told to bear left, they go around, and then they have to make a left turn again. That's not the reality. The reality is you go straight on. So again, how do we represent this stuff properly in the real world? So following on from that, here is an example in Manhattan, New York, and quite a few of my examples are from Manhattan, where I think some of the traffic light routing in particular is particularly bad. We have five First Avenues. This is not a map that really a sort of ordinary person would look at and understand what's going on here. Now, of course, what we actually have is a street which has a road in the middle and there's a cycle lane, possibly slightly segregated, and there's a footway along the side. But of course, the map, the actual cartographic map, represents these as five lanes. Sorry, as five lines, each of which has a name. This is actually this is correctly routable. So this works correctly for routing, but for cartography, it's completely wrong. And I think the problem here is that we don't have a clear concept of a street, which is how we as humans think about it. You know, a street is a space with flows and things happening in trees and parking and traffic lights and things like that. Similarly, we don't have the concept of a junction. We just have lines and connections going through this, and somehow routing software is supposed to work out that what you're really trying to do is just go right or left. Here's another junction. This is from Amsterdam, which I think is one of the highest quality routing in the world. And it's beautifully creating exactly what happens. You know, I've been through this, it is correct. The problem is, if you imagine you're cycling from the top, and you're sort of cycling in that direction, and you're trying to get here, you're essentially doing a right turn. But if you follow the line, you're sort of going straight on. It sort of just goes around there. So is straight on that way? Is it that way? We want to represent that the cyclist should ultimately be doing a right turn through this overall space, this mass of a junction. But there's no reference point that we can actually say, you know, you're going to this point, and this sort of relevant point, you're turning right, essentially. But, so there's no way of telling that this is actually a junction. So, you know, how do we actually give instructions for cyclists to turn right? Another example is pedestrian routing. So this is back in Manhattan. We have a main street, just check the time, and there's a cycleway. Now, the way that we, this is a case where, inconsistently, we don't have the separate walkways. But the normal way we do this is to add the sidewalk tag to say that there is or isn't a sidewalk. So we normally expect to say sidewalk equals no. But if we put the but where should we put that? Do we put the sidewalk equals no on the main street or on the cycleway? Well, of course, it should be on the main street. But then would a routing engine would a pedestrian routing engine be looking at the cycleway and saying, oh, that's where the sidewalk is? Do you see what I mean? It's sort of there's two things, and we kind of want the sidewalk on the right of this bit, but on the left of that bit, and nothing in the middle. There. So it's another compromise. Where should the walk routing put the pedestrian? Another example is that we can't really properly model the turns. here we have, if you imagine you're cycling from here along this, in theory what the router says is turn right, turn right, turn left. What does the cyclist do? Well, they just sort of go like that. They just meander around that corner. And again, because we're trying to, we've got all the points coming into a single place, which correctly for routability, the connectivity will give us a route. But do we add a fake bit of bike route there that doesn't exist? I don't know, what do we do? How many, and here's another problem. How many times do we wait when we're going through this junction? Well, if we're going from the left to the right, it says we have a traffic light. There's another traffic light there. Now, ideally, these would have a directionality, which they don't, so there's actually two at the moment. Then we also have a crossing and another crossing. So there's two crossings. And if we'd used the ID editor, we would have a third crossing here, which would have been added, which, in my view, we shouldn't have. So altogether, we've actually got two traffic lights and two crossings. Now, a proper router will say, well, a crossing, you should be slowing down so that, you know, people can cross. And traffic light, you obviously have a wait. So we've probably got about a minute and a half's wait there, potentially, whereas really what we should have is 20 seconds, which is probably what you have to wait for the traffic light. Now, you could do some analysis to say, well, you know, these are kind of near each other. They're probably the same thing. But actually, you know, I've seen traffic lights that are quite near, but are a separate phase. Certainly in Cambridge, there's one where they're about 15 meters apart, which is the distance that's on here. So it's very difficult to sort of say, what do we have here? And the Arc de Triomphe is the worst example. It is impossible, I believe, for a router to work out how long it actually takes you to get through this junction. It needs a lot of tidying up, and it's a model that people don't understand when they're doing it. So we've got all these lights, we've got lots of, all the yellow dots are crossings. You get the idea, it's very difficult to work out what we're doing. Sorry? Probably not, but, you know, we should at least try and make it easy for people. So here's another example. This is very common in New York. We have a road, and again, you're supposedly going through two lights. Another case is where the lights are not properly managed, where you're actually thinking about both the cyclist and the road. So here, if you're turning right, you actually have a traffic light there and there. We can fix this. It's this kind of thing where we basically put it in the directionality. But I don't think this is really how humans perceive the junction. They see it as a junction, and there just happens to be signal heads at certain points. But for routability, that's what we should have. I would say that about 90% of junctions, certainly involving the cycling in Manhattan, are completely wrong. There are vast numbers that simply have no weight at all for the cyclist. Pedestrian routing. I would say we're nowhere near the state of the art, unfortunately, because what we're trying to do is to represent, the physical locations of pavements rather than a routable location. So what should we do here? I mean, again, I'm sure we've all seen this thing where it sort of loops back because it's got to get to the end of the road, finds a connection, and then routes along. So if it should be routable, shouldn't it be like this? Should we have lots of random, an infinite number of crossing points? Well, maybe, although actually pedestrians are actually the greatest Pythagoreans, so it's probably more like that. where you know, we just randomly cross. But the point is, we're sort of trying to represent a space, which certainly in the UK means you can just cross the road wherever you want, unlike the US, with routable lines. So before I come on to a couple of suggestions, how we can solve this, there's also the problem of where we have multiple methods to represent the same thing. So this is the cycle parking just outside. It's actually quite a large area, so I would personally have done that as an area, but it's actually represented as a point, which means that for users of it, of our data, you've got to have two different ways of processing this stuff. But ultimately, you know, even a single cycle parking space is an area. It takes up, you know, 1 meter square, roughly. Another problem which is emerging, and particularly with things like e-scooters and stuff, is the curbside problem. So how do we model that there are, for example, restrictions on the time that you can do deliveries? So, for example, if you want to deliver to a shop, you may only be able to do it between 7 and 10 in the morning. This is actually a diagram from State of the Mat US, which I got emailed. And what it shows at the top is we've got the black line, which is, so this is the top diagram. We've got the black line, which is the street. And if you look at the the red line, the loading zone, that says that along this street, these are the times that you can deliver. These are the times, the green one is when you can park. So if we want to represent all these restrictions, of which there may be multiple more, there might be, I don't know, bin times, I don't know, who knows. We've got to do the second diagram, which is to divide the line up into lots of bits, and then say between this fourth bit and this seventh bit, there's this restriction. But the problem with that is that's very brittle, because as we see in the third diagram, if someone moves the line along, we've now lost potentially 5 meters of loading zone or whatever. So we don't really have a good way to model this, except to make it extremely complicated and difficult for anyone to maintain. So with all these sorts of problems where we're kind of representing spaces as lines, I think we need the concept of a street. As I say, this is not a sort of fully worked out concept, but I want to start a discussion. What we've got here is, this was the one where we had the pedestrian routing thing. What I've done is to surround the street, the two streets, with a box. So there's this street going here, which actually is, Somerset Close, but it also has a little spur, which is actually part of the same street. It's just we can't represent it as a line that spurs off because we don't have that concept in OSM. We don't have multi-polar lines. So I've sort of surrounded it essentially by a red box. And what that means, and it, if you like, it's essentially like a relation. It means we could say that everything in this box relates to this street. And so then a walk router could, for example, say, well, I've entered this walking area. I actually know that even though these lines are not necessarily connected at every point, I can actually jump across the road. And likewise, there's one sort of for this bit here. And you can see here, we can also then start to do things like, we could say, well, this loading area is within the scope of this street. We could also say, for research purposes, how wide is this street? Could we, for example, upgrade the street to have cycleways, which is something we can't really do at the moment? And in fact, a project I've been doing with Leeds University, we've actually had to use the Ordnance Survey data because they actually have real street polygons, which we don't have. So I've just got 2 minutes left. So, and we already actually have a similar sort of concept to this, which is pedestrian areas. We often map pedestrian areas, which is an area, but we also have lines going through it. And although there's duplication there, there are reasons for both, in that we need the area to say where it is, but we also have the sort of common de facto routes that people take. So one way is, as I say, to sort of surround this there with an overlapping junction. Another possibility might be to tessellate them, so that we use the traditional GIS approach, which is to say that the whole world consists of polygons that never overlap, except obviously when you've got different layers. But you know, you can imagine that, you know, here there's a thing, and you know, these can't overlap. So, and again, we could have this idea that, you know, everything within this is this street, everything within that street, and it's just an additional data field, additional data representation that we could put on top. Similarly, what about the concept of a junction? So we've got, so the idea of a sort of relation of a street. What about a junction? So if you remember, this was the one where I said, you know, we've got this weird right turn, and we don't know how many things here now. What I've done here is to surround all these bits of stuff, which we do still need. We do still need to know that, you know, the connectivity is correct. But what I've done is to surround all of the bits of anything that's relating to the concept of the junction, whether that's the crossing, whether that's the actual point, the intersection, whether that's the pedestrian bit, whether that's the lights and so on. It's all in a junction concept. And so what we could now say is, well, if I'm cycling from the bottom here to the right, overall, I can see that connectivity-wise it's correct, but my instructions to the user can be turn right. And that's rather than turn right for 2 meters, turn bear right for 5 meters, turn left, etc. We could get a much more sensible thing. And we could also then say, well, we've got one junction, we've got lots of lights within it, but we know this is a junction, and therefore we've got one delay. And we could sort of connect these things together somehow. Thank you very much.
So Martin said, he likes lots of questions, so you can throw any sort of question at him, I think. I'm interested also if there's anyone from the Baden-Württemberg Minister of Transport. They might be interesting people to talk to. But we've got a question up here.
We're very interesting. It actually reminds me of one recent project that we're working right now about indoor routing. So basically 80% of the problems are the same. The linear model of streets what we are using, this is really good for linearly moving objects like cars. But pedestrians especially, but also bicyclists are not linear, so we would need to have a combination of linear model and the kind of space, open space based model. So you are mapping basically positive and negative space and some relations inside there instead of trying to put everything to lines. So in our project we ended up building our own routing engine because we didn't find anyone really having this for open space routing. Well, of course, indoors has its own specifics and outdoors has own also, but I think the concept of combination of linear and space-based model is kind of solution here. Of course, it is very difficult to map positive or negative space of city environment, but probably we will end up with that.
Cool. So just
comment.
We have a
gender balance, hopefully.
Yeah, did you got a question?
Yeah, but it was the same subject, more
or less. Oh, same subject, okay. Cool. He's thinking about the same things. Anyone with a different question over there? Let's go for the lady at the back, and then we'll go to the gentleman further forward. If you, yeah, can you see, if you run down from there, keep waving because he'll forget you. it's a long way to run, you can get anything.
Thank you for your talk, very interesting. We ran into the same problems doing indoor routing in railway stations. And we proposed some solutions on the wiki page, which is called Guidelines for Pedestrian Navigation. So I invite you to read it. And if you have any advice or remarks, we are really interested to share with anyone on this subject. But we also use surfaces and areas inside and nearby the stations, for example, in front of the stations, where there are very complex pedestrian areas. So thanks.
Yeah, no, I agree. Another question?
And then there's a gentleman down in the
front. Just while getting to this question, I just want to give another example. Is the problem of lanes for sat-navs, you know, that lanes sort of sometimes come and go. You also problem have the lane where a lane is taken up by parking. You know, that's a spatial concept. Is that really two lanes or one when we've, you know, there's lots of areas where we have this compromise. Sorry, thank you.
Your example with the difficult street in Cambridge or in England, how is it solved by area mapping? Inside the area, do you map all the flows then?
So the solution for this that has been adopted in Cambridge is indeed that. So we, you know, I would like to think we do give very good routing for it, but I would argue cartographically it's not ideal, and we have the problem of, you know, the geometries being wrong at the junctions further up because they've got to combine and then split again, this sort of problem. So.
Okay, thank you. So we've got Ilya speaking now, if he comes on and picks up his slides. One thing, Martin, have you thought, maybe not, about talking, can we do anything with the local authorities, like, that one of the US loading times, I'm like, surely you're going to get confused yourself. Maybe someone in the office might update it wrong, and can they just make it simpler for us?
Well, my view is that actually, if we want, for example, good provision for cycling, we need to make sure that it is separate from traffic. So I actually think the problem's going to get much worse than better. so there's a positive note to end on. But thank you very much.
Thank you, Martin.